We on there, Brother Wade?
We're on.
Amen.
Every quarter.
Oh, my. I thank the Lord. Appreciate being able to be in the house of God this morning. Thank the Lord for having my family in the house of God. That's a great blessing to me. I'm glad you're here. Brother Wade, if you would take us to the Lord in prayer before we start.
Heavenly Father, again, we love you for taking this day, this opportunity to be in your house. Just thank you for your mercy and grace and mercy you've shown to us. Pray for those that are grieving today. I pray for those that are sick and in the hospital. I pray to just be there with those and all the prayer requests there. Pray you be with everything. You give him the words to be standing.
Oh, God, help us.
There. Thank you for saving Josh and being there.
Amen. I appreciate the Lord this morning, don't you? Best friend I ever had. I echo what Brother Hyatt said. Please continue to keep the Walters family in prayer and Brother Keith and his family. I'd ask you to be praying for Josh and DJ. They've got some things in their life they need to see the Lord do and fall in place for them. We're trusting God to do it. And I thank him for his goodness. Turn your Bible, if you would, to Judges 11. We're really still in Hebrews, but verse 32 just mentions the name of Jephthah, who we'll be looking at this morning. But we'll go to Judges 11. We'll try to give you what's on our heart. I ask you to pray for me. My thoughts sort of scattered this morning for some reason. I've looked at this and looked at this over the last couple of weeks, and I really don't have but a couple of things in mind right off the top of my head. I really felt like the Lord wanted me to touch on, but we'll just start reading the scripture and we'll just follow the Lord and trust him to help us. And I pray it'll be something to be a help to you this morning. Judges 11 verse 1 says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." Verse 3 says, "And then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob." If you look that up in the Hebrew dictionary, that means good. That's what that word means. And it said, "And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and he went out with him." And we'll stop reading there for just a minute. Look back at verse 1, and I just had some thoughts there on that verse. It said, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor." No doubt he was a strong man. He was a leader. No doubt God had blessed him with some leadership skills and characteristics. He was a mighty man of valor. God put that in him, knowing he's going to use him one day to judge the nation of Israel. But it says, "And he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah." I thought on that, and I thought about that, that he was the son of a harlot. It goes on, as we read there later on, that he was not allowed to inherit his father's house because of that. His father had stepped outside of the sanctity of his home and his marriage, no doubt, and had produced this child, Jephthah, with a harlot woman. And that knocked him out of inheritance. If you'll go back, and we'll not do it, we don't have time, but if you'll go back and read in Leviticus and other places there in the first few books of the Bible where it talks about the law and all that, a child that was not born in the right way was not allowed to inherit. He was not allowed to be in a position to get a portion when his father passed away. If you're familiar with that, and I'm sure most of you are, usually when the father, the patriarch, the leader of a family was to die, all the sons inherited a portion. And of course, the eldest son, the oldest, normally would inherit a double portion. And he would ascend to the leadership position of the family as far as being the elder. But it says here that Jephthah, though he was the son of a harlot woman, I thought to myself, I'm sure glad, knowing that Jephthah was used of God later on down the road, I'm sure glad that your origin as far as things of this nature that you have no control over surely doesn't stop God from using you. I'm thankful for that. I couldn't help but think how this really wasn't Jephthah's fault. This was a thing that was the sin of his own father. His own father had stepped outside of that bounds of marriage and produced him with this woman. Jephthah was in no fault doing that. But he did still face persecution from his own family there, and he faced certain things in life after that as a result of his father's sin. If you'll go back over into Deuteronomy, I believe it's in chapter 23, about verse 2, it talks about a child that's been born in this case, and it said they weren't even allowed into the congregation of the people up to the 10th generation. That's pretty severe for something that you didn't do. Now, we all know there's a purpose of that. God was trying to keep the people of God pure. He was trying to keep sin out of the camp for their own good. And that was the purpose of this being in place in the law. But I'm sure thankful Jephthah wasn't in a place God wouldn't help him because of that. I'm sure glad that he could still be used of God, that he still could serve a purpose in the hand of God, be blessed by God. And that's good to know. I'm sure thankful I can sort of relate to this, as I've told y'all before. I grew up having never knew my dad. I mean, I've discussed before when I've been teaching, gave you some of the facts on children that come from broken homes, how out of the ordinary proportion of them wind up growing up, winding up in prison, and being alcoholics and drug addicts far more so than someone that grows up in a home with mother and father and a Christian home especially. You just don't see that. Now, we all know that children grow up and they go their own way, and some go down the wrong path sometimes, whether they come a good home or a bad, and vice versa. I've seen children come out of tough home situations, grow up, come to know the Lord, and have wonderful adult life and serve God, be prosperous in this whole life, be touched to God. And so you're the way you come into this world like that, and sometimes the way you raised, even though it does matter the way you raised, it does matter what kind of home you're in. But the point I'm trying to make is that doesn't, though, necessarily hinder God from using you. And I thank God for that. I couldn't help as I looked at this, though, and sort of tried to look at it maybe in a different light, maybe in a spiritual application. We all know the circumstances and the consequences sometimes of circumstances. When a child comes into this world and is raised in tough circumstances like that. But you know what? Spiritually, there's also illegitimate children spiritually. Or you could say lack of spirituality. If you really think about it. There's been a lot of times, and I'm just trying to make type here to make a point. I mean, everything wouldn't exactly fall in line. I'm not trying to make it sound like it does. But as I think of Jephthah's father, I sort of think about the church in the sense of just that word loosely, things that are called church, and how they'll go out, no doubt a lot of times with good intentions, and get involved in things that really waters down the gospel and takes away from the truth of the Word of God, no doubt grieves the Holy Ghost and robs themselves of the power of God in trying to reach sinners. And sort of like Jephthah's father here went and got hooked up with this harlot woman. A lot of times down through the years, the church has got involved and false doctrine and false teaching and false practices and started dabbling with the world like that, the harlot. And if you're familiar with prophecy, you'll read over in Revelation in chapter 17. It talks about the harlot woman that sat upon the beast. That's talking about an apostate church. That's right. And it's sad in this day and time to see the extent that people, although with good intentions, will forsake the gospel and forsake the truth to try to reach sinners just for the sake of getting big numbers in the house of God so they can put in their newsletter and brag about it. It's really sad. I'm not against going out and knocking on doors trying to reach people for God. I think you ought to. I think it's right to try to, every time God gives you opportunity, to talk to people, invite them to the house of God and tell them what the Lord's done for you. But we all know there's some people out there that has took that to the extreme. They've took that and really to a place to where they'll stand there on the doorstep and try to talk to somebody and God ain't even dealing with. And really what they do a lot of times, they give somebody false hope. They give somebody confidence in their heart. That they're all right with God when they're probably really not. And I know that's a touchy subject in this day and time. I know that's the thing that a lot of people don't like to talk about, but it's the truth. It's just simply the truth. And I think this thing's a lot tighter and a lot more narrow than what we even want to admit ourselves sometimes, Brother Joe. I really do. I fear that. I want with all my heart to see people saved. I've had the privilege to be there when both of my children now come to know the Lord. I never really tried to lead them in nothing. I didn't try to convince them of nothing. My son right there, he's sitting, he testified this morning. He's under the load and he was in trouble with God. I never said a word to give him any false confidence. He'll tell you exactly what I told him. I told him that only the Holy Ghost could tell him if he was right with God. Now, I couldn't tell him. Well, ain't my place to tell him. My place to love him, pray for him, tell him the truth, according to the Word of God, and trust God to touch him. God's the one God saves sinners anyway. We can't save them. Now, that don't give us an excuse not to go out and try to reach people. I know there's a fine line there, and you got to be careful. Please understand me this morning. I'm not picking on people for the sake of picking on somebody just because they might do things different from us. But I'm just trying to say that there's a truth there. And it's narrow. It's narrow. We know the Bible tells us that there's a broad way that many goes down. It leads to destruction. But there's a narrow way that leads to Christ. It's a narrow way. It really is. I'm reminded a lot of times, several places. 2 John's one of them where it talks about they have not the doctrine of Christ. You know, it says don't even lie in your house. Don't even bid them Godspeed, Brother Joe. That's what it says. He says you're not to even fellowship or give comfort or peace to somebody out there spreading a false gospel. You know, it tells us several places in the scriptures that a person has not the doctrine of Christ, they know not God, nor his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty tight, Brother Hip. That's probably tighter than we like to admit sometimes. I mean, I know it's human nature. You want to give people the benefit of the doubt. You want to think well, and I think that's good. And we should never judge. It's between somebody and God if they're right with God. That ain't our place to judge, and I want to make that plain. I'm not trying to say that. That's between them and God. And we ought to do everything we can to encourage people and love them in the Lord. And if they testify and profess to be saved, try to encourage them. To grow in the grace of God and be what God had them be. And I'm not saying you're to judge folks like that and stand back and try to decide what God's done, what God ain't done. That's God's business. But I do think it's very important, though, that we're careful in the way we deal with sinners. That we don't give people false hope and try to give them a promise to hold on to that does not have a firm foundation in the Scriptures and in the Word of God. And that's all I'm saying. I can't get people saved. I can't save them. God can, though, and I trust him, believe him to do that. He does it rather well. I know what he's done in my heart. I can testify my own self. I've got peace in my heart what he's done for my children. There's many of you in here this morning. I've got peace in my heart. I've got a good witness of the Holy Ghost. I believe you know the Lord just as good as I do. And I thank God for that. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, The only two people that really knows for sure is you and God. And I think it's careful how we deal with people, that we don't give them false hope, and we don't try to lead them somewhere God's not taking them. But I think also in the same sense, we ought to be very careful we don't discourage people either by judging and questioning what they profess in their heart. Sometimes I think it's just best to just let things be what they are and just live for God in front of them and with them, and just leave it in the hands of God. Josh asked me a question the other night. Me and him were sitting there talking, and he was just asking me for some advice on some things he's facing. And he told me, he said, "You think I might need to go talk to somebody, you know, and try to straighten things out?" And I told him, I said, "Well," I said, "sometimes that's the right thing to do." I said, "But you know what?" I said, "I think it might be more prosperous for you if instead of you spent your time talking to him, you just go get on your knees and talk to the Father and put it in his hands." Sometimes we just have things we don't have control over. Sometimes there's just things that's out of our hands that we really can't do much about other than just trust God and believe God. Do what God's told us to do and just believe him to move. It takes God a lot of times to move his hand over a situation and make things work out. I could stand here and testify to you this morning. There's been many times in my life since I've been saved that I face things. Me and my children face things. And all I could do is just bow my head and ask God for help and trust him. And there was a lot of those times, I'll be honest with you, relief didn't come, help didn't come, the clouds didn't break and really open up and give us what we was asking for and stand in need of, you know, right away. I tell people sometimes to pray and trust God and just believe God to do his will in your life. But I always try to encourage them, though, with this, not discourage them, but encourage them, though you got to sometimes just sort of be diligent in prayer and stay with God and wait on him. A lot of times we stand in need of things, folks. But that don't mean necessarily it's going to happen today. That don't mean it's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, maybe even next year. I've had things I've prayed for, still praying for, been praying for years. Some of them I've seen God eventually break through and answer prayers. There's some things I'm still praying for, been praying about for years. I ain't seen God move on it yet, but I believe he will. If that be his good will, that be to our benefit. I understand sometimes we ask amiss. Sometimes we ask God for things and we desire things in our hearts really not to our benefit. But God knows what we stand in need of. And I'm thankful for that. But Jephthah was born to a harlot woman. There's a lot of folks out here in this old world, in a spiritual sense, that's on professions. They'll tell you they know the Lord. But I fear for them. I'm not judging them, but I fear for them. I fear that they bought the lie of the devil, that they bought a counterfeit, hook, line, and sinker. And they're trusting that. They're trusting something they've done, something somebody's told them they can trust in. You know, a lot of people I meet, ask them, you know, if they're saved, know the Lord. "Oh, yeah, I done that, you know, I done that with the preacher or the fella at the door or something, you know, years ago, but nothing ever changed in their life. Nothing ever did." And I know we're not saved by works. Far from that. Trust me, this one old boy standing here this morning knows in his heart without a doubt it's all the grace of God. It's just God does it for us and gives it for us. We can't do anything to get it. We can't do anything to keep it. But I also know that Scripture teaches us, and I know it's right, that when you do get born again, there will be a change in your life. Yes. There will be. You know, James tells us, you know, that faith without works is dead. And that's right. There'll be fruit in somebody's life. If they really and truly know the Lord, they'll love the Lord. He said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." I thought about that here a while back. I was sort of studying on that and thinking on that. And if I'm wrong on what I'm going to say, I certainly, in humility, would ask the pastor here to correct me after I get done today, because I surely don't want to misrepresent anything. But I got to thinking about that, and it says that you'll keep his commandments. And it doesn't say you'll perfectly obey them. We all know, even as a child of God, we're still not perfect. We struggle with sin every day. There are sometimes we fall. There are sometimes we give in to temptation, sadly. There are sometimes we just mess up and we have to go to God and ask forgiveness, ask Him to cleanse us of it and give us repentance. I understand all that. It doesn't say we'd obey it perfectly, said it, though, that we'd keep His commandments. And I thought about the proper definition of that word keep. You keep something, you possess it. You hold to it. A lot of times real tight. You consider it of great value to you. And I think that's right. I think that that's what that verse is saying. The commandments of Christ and what the Word of God tells us we should do and how we should live our life as a child of God will mean something to us. It'll be important to us. I think there'll be a real desire in our heart to want to obey that, Brother Keith. I really do. If you really know Him, you want to live for Him. And like I said, we're not perfect. We fall. We fumble around. We mess up sometimes. But I believe that desire will always truly be there in a child of God. I know it is in my heart. I can testify that. And the Lord tells us it's one faith and of one spirit. So based on that, I'm inclined to believe the same salvation I've got this morning, same salvation you've got.
Amen.
I mean, that's just right. And God works the same in all His children, Brother Joe. I believe that. He'll do for you just what He'll do for me or Brother Hyde or anybody else here this morning that knows Him. But it does concern me that spiritually, though, I just couldn't help but think about that. He was born to the harlot woman. I just couldn't help but think there's a lot of people, sadly, in this world that's in places this morning. And thanks, they're all right, but they've never had really an encounter with the God of heaven. They've never met Him. When Josh was under conviction, I showed him one verse in the Bible I felt led to. And I'm not the type of person that sticks a Bible under somebody's nose, said, do you believe this? Yeah, nod your head and all that. But I really felt strongly impressed to point out to him when he was at a point he was telling me he couldn't get no peace, that he still wasn't sure that God had saved him and helped him and made him new in Christ. And he was struggling with it, and he still had doubt in his mind. And I just felt led to open up the Bible, and I opened it up to John 17:3. I don't know if you're familiar with that verse. And just basically what that verse said is basically that eternal life is this, that you might know God, the one and true living God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's not just making a promise or turning over a new leaf, trying to do better and none of the rest of that. It's a real relationship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And I just simply asked Him at that point. He'll testify of it. I asked Him, I said, do you know in your heart that God told you that you know Him? And I used the example, and y'all forgive me of this, but at the moment it's all I could think of. It was just a worldly example. But I told him, I said, it's sort of like the president up there. Any of them, don't matter. It could be the ones in there now or any of the rest of them. I told him, I said, when they're in office, I know about them. Ain't that right, Brother Keith? I know their name. I probably know a lot about their life, what you know, the publicity tells us. Nobody's wife, I'm nobody's children. I got a pretty good idea what kind of man he is, what he believes, and how he thinks based on what he does as President of the United States and the policies that he supports or that he's against. No good bit about him, but I don't know him. I fear this morning there's a lot of people in this world knows a good bit about Jesus. They've maybe read the Bible. They've heard people read the Bible. They've heard people talk religious stuff all their life. I mean, they know the story how he was baptized by John the Baptist. They know how he raised Lazarus from the dead. They know how he died and went to an old cross and died and went into the grave for 3 days and 3 nights and then rose again, ascended back to the Father. They know a whole lot about Jesus, but they don't know Him. Brother Hip, sadly, if they don't know Him, they're going to pull out of here one day and I'm afraid they're going to wind up somewhere other than heaven. And any of you knows me real well, Brother Hyatt does. If there's anything in this world that really just gets me, that I'll just be honest with you. I hate to use this word, but I'm just being honest with you. That I despise. It's harlot religion. Anybody that gives people a false hope like that and deviates from the gospel, deviates from the truth. I mean, you know, you can pat somebody on the head and be kind to them and all that and have best intentions in the world. But if you're feeding them poison, even if you're maybe not fully aware of what you're doing, you're still feeding them poison. And it's not going to benefit them. And I know we're not guilty of that here. I don't even know why I'm really getting on this, but it's just really been strong on my heart the last few days. I thank God, and I guess this is why, I thank God with my own children and with others I've seen come to know God in this house of God down through the years. I thank God that it's been real and it's been the Holy Ghost. I thank God, Brother Hyatt, for God moving in people's heart and it's real. Yeah. I don't like to see people giving false hope, no matter how well-meaning it is. Because in the end, might make them feel good about themselves, might make them a little happy now, might make them think they're okay, but in the end, one day they're going to stand before God just like all the rest of us. And if you don't know Him, it's not going to be a good day. And there's some things, as we well know, and I know there's things like Hinduism and Buddhism and all that stuff out there. I wouldn't consider that harlot religion. That's just outright somebody trying to claim that they're part of God's and they ain't start with. They're not trying to imitate the truth. They're not trying to line up a part of the truth. They're just absolutely slap outside the building to start with, Brother Keith. And that ain't really what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about things that's really just harlot religion. But anyway, we'll move on. But said she bared him sons. His wife bared him sons. And his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. And then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and he dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men unto Jephthah, and he went out with him. As I read that, I just sort of thought it seemed like a lot of times people get more grief out of those that are closest to them than anybody else. There's been a lot of times people's got away from the house of God or got away from their natural family as they've grown up. And they went out, and really the only thing really I really feel impressed to say on that is there he said, and they gathered vain men unto him. It just seems like if you get out of the will of God, and I'm just going to make this point on this and move on. If you ever get out of the will of God, and you get out of the place of God, and you get away from the family of God, it always almost seems to lead to the same place. A vain man, that word vain means empty and worthless. Useless, no good to you. Isn't it funny how it seems like when you get out of the will of God, you always seem to wind up right in the middle of the wrong crowd? Wrong crowd that's going to lead you down the wrong way, that's going to be a hindrance and a harm to you. Just seems like it works that way. It just seems like the devil just sits and sort of like the old wolf, you know, they'll follow the herd. Or if you've ever watched some of those nature shows or something and saw those lions, you know, they'll always watch that herd and they'll watch for the weakest one or the sickest one to sort of stray away from the rest of the herd where there's no protection. And that's the ones they always seem to attack. So, we've all got people in our family, and no doubt people we know that down through the years has been here, has gotten out. Some's back in here this morning. I thank God for it, and we're still praying for the others. But just pray, though, that they'll not fall down in that, and it be a hindrance to them. And I'll close with this. As you read on down, and I'll not read it, but if as you read on down, you'll find that later on down the road, the nation of Israel got in trouble. The nation of Ammon come and started war with Israel, and the elders came back to Jephthah and said, would you come back? Will you be our captain? In other words, will you lead our army and lead our effort against our enemies? And Jephthah told him, he said, well, you threw me out. You rejected me and all of that. Because of my birth circumstances, and He said, but you know, pretty much just in a roundabout way, what he was saying, you know, that's sort of strange. Now you called me back after you threw me out. But God wound up letting him go back. And God wound up using him to judge Israel and help the nation of Israel defeat the nation of Ammon and later on the nation of Ephraim when they come to war with Israel. And in spite of all that, Brother Joe, God still raised him up and used him for his own glory and for his own good. But I was thinking as I read that, it's sort of funny how it seems like the people that we normally talk to or we try to reach out to in everyday life, and they, you know, just sort of brush us off, and they always, you know, just sort of give us that indifference. They're not really concerned. They're not really interested in what we have to say, Brother Hip, about the Bible or the Lord. When they get in trouble, who do they call and want to pray for them? You ever had that happen? It seems like that crowd, they'll reject us and they'll separate from us. They'll push us away. They don't want us in their life. But when trouble comes, and the truth rises to the top and testifies of its own self, they know that the people of God's the only place they can go to cry out to God that they might find some help. It's sort of strange, the ones they'll reject when things in life seems to be going well for them is the very people they'll come back to and want help from. They don't go to their drunkard buddies or whoever else they've been hanging around with while they've been living in sin for help. When the dark days hit. They'll pick up the phone and they'll call that brother or that sister or that mom and daddy or that grandpa or grandma or somebody that they know has testified down through the years of knowing God. And they'll say, pray for me. I've sort of had that happen here lately, and I'm not bragging on me. God knows y'all know me better than that. But just to tell you, Josh has been staying with me for the last week, and he was outside the other day, and there was a lady that was sitting out there he got to talking to. And I'll be honest with you, I've talked to her a time or two since I've lived there, and about 9-10 months I've been there where I'm at now in that apartment building. But it's not somebody I talk to very often. I mean, really, we've never really sit down and really had no real conversation much. Just sort of, hey, how you doing? Stuff like that. But there was no one of the ladies, I guess that lady's good friends with in the building, that was having some severe heart problems. And they come got her and took her to the hospital the night before Josh was talking to this lady. And said she was in bad shape. And when she saw Josh, she, you know, put two and two together. I don't really know if she already figured out Josh was my boy, if she asked him, but when she put that together, she told me, she said, ask your daddy to pray for that lady. And she told Josh, she said, you know, me and your daddy ain't never really talked much since he lived here. He said, but every time I see him leave the building, he's got a Bible under his arm, and he's going to the house of God. I thank God for that kind of testimony in people's eyes. That ain't nothing to do with me. That's the good grace of God. But Brother Hip, I'm thankful. I mean, somebody I barely know. But just the fact they've seen me leaving the building consistently, being faithful, with the Word of God under my arm, going to the house of God, they just felt like, well, I feel like somebody needs to pray for my friend. And that's the one person in the building I believe that I can have confidence in that'll pray, and maybe God will help them. I'm glad that God's got me in that place. That ain't me, folks. I'm in the flesh. I'm the same I've always been. I ain't no count. But I thank God that He's allowed me to be used in His hand as a tool to be a help to other people. That's a great blessing to me, because I'll be honest with you, especially back when I was lost in those days, I was a curse and a hindrance and a headache to most everybody around me. I'm glad in these last days of my life, I don't know how long I'll live, but I'm glad in these days that the good grace of God's got me in a place to where I can be used, Brother Joe, to be a blessing to others. I thank God for that. I pray that He'll continue to do that for this church. I do say in these last recent days, I thank God for the good love and the good help we've had here in the house of God. Thank God for what He's put in all of our heart. You're really my family. and I appreciate you. I really do. You've been a great help to me down through the years, and I'm glad no matter what happens to any of us in here, it seems like everybody always rallies and pulls together. And it's a great blessing to those in those dark times that we face in life and helps us all get through it. And I appreciate God doing that for us. Every one of us probably could say and testify that there's something that's a part of our natural life. We're like Jephthah. We're in a place that, according to the law, we're not allowed to inherit. We don't really have no blessing or place in the family. But I thank God that the law was done away with by the Lord when he went to that cross, Brother Robert. And we stand in grace now, not under the law, and we do stand in a place where we inherit great blessings. And I thank God for that. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this time. I'm sorry it seems like it's been a little scattered. A lot of what I've said probably seems like to the folks doesn't really have that much connection to the passage, but Lord, I try to do what you put in my heart. I pray, God, and I trust you, God, that you be a help to us and a blessing to our heart in what we've heard. May you take it and use it. May you bless and touch the 11 o'clock hour, help the man of God, fill him with your spirit, give him discernment for this time, enable him to preach in great power. And may the people of God rejoice, God, and praise you and lift up Christ, oh God, before the eyes of men. And we'll certainly thank you for everything you do for us. For it's in your dear son's name we do ask and pray these things. Amen. I appreciate you.